It's good to see you here this morning. As we turn back to Matthew chapter 6, we're headed back to verse 9 as we continue on, to look into when we pray. And so when you pray, do these things. And we'll be down in chapter 13 this morning as we see. And just a couple of things as we get there and as you begin to find our passage this morning, and just a couple of things we want to be aware of. We have been praying and talking about that we pray that our Father is in heaven. We give glory to His name because it is to be glorified and honored. We pray that His kingdom has come, and we understand that His will is to be done here on earth just like it is in heaven. And we understand there's an authority by which Christ has, an authority by which God has over His creation. And we look toward that. We pray, picking up in verse 11, that to give us this day our daily bread. We talked about the sustenance by which God gives us daily, and He is able to provide for us this day and for tomorrow, and God is able to provide for us for all the tomorrows to infinity. Last week, we looked at verse 12, and we have and. And so this connects it with the previous verse of that of 11, that we are, give us this day our daily bread. And this, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then we pick up in verse 13 where we'll be this morning. And so if you have found Matthew chapter 6 and you're able, let's rise and honor the reading of God's word this morning. And so we come to Matthew 6. Matthew will write, In this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the work that you continue to do. Lord, that you continue to call people to you. Lord, may we love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, as we come into this time, just open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our souls, that we would hear you speak to us. That you and you alone would be glorified and honored and lifted up and praised. And Lord, be God. In a great and mighty way. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so you may be seated. And so like I mentioned earlier, as we were looking, moving from verse 11 to verse 12, and we picked up an and in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We come into verse 13, we pick up and again. Why? That's connecting it back with 12, also connecting it back with verse 11. These are things daily that we are to seek from God. It's a daily aspect, and so we pray, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So the first question we want to ask this morning is, what is temptation? And I think all of us have in our minds some aspect of what it means to be tempted. And what is temptation as we go through and as we would see. But what exactly is Christ talking about here that we are praying for that we are not tempted, that we are not led into temptation? Now, first and foremost, as we look in this word temptation, particularly in that as it stems from the Greek, it also is translated oftentimes temptation in the way we see here, but also has the other context and the implications of the word of that being testing. And so we are to see it in both of those lights, that there's an aspect that we understand temptation from that, a temptation to do something, an enticement to do something. And oftentimes, we look at temptation from a negative side, particularly when it comes to sin, that we ourselves are tempted, to sin. But we also are to see it and look at it in the realm and in the side of that we are being tested as well. And so there is a trial going on. There is a test that is taking place. And we are to understand that, remember, we as believers, this context which the prayer is meant and talking to, is those are the disciples of God, are walked through this world, even though we have been saved, we have not been perfected. Why is that? We are still flesh and blood. We still, therefore, carry around the sin that is our nature of humanity. And so we're walking into these trials and tests in that, and therefore sometimes we fall into temptation. Now, James, if we were to look at the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2, James helps us out in this. So how are we to understand this? James chapter 1, verse 2 would write, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." There is a part of us that is just part of the maturing process by which we go through, that God is working, that there are tests and trials along the way. It is that by which our faith is built. It is that by which our faith is strengthened. And that by which we see God working in our lives to put more and more faith and trust in Him and less faith and trust in ourselves. So there's a trial part of this word temptation. There's a temptation part that we see in this word. Well, let us ask this question. And let's clear up this. And the question simply is, based on what we see here, does God tempt us to sin? Let me ask this question again. Does God tempt us to sin? And the answer to that question is no. God may test us. We may walk through trials. God does not tempt us. Why is that? Because that would go completely contrary to the nature and the characteristics and the absolutes of God. God is not the author of temptation. We go back to James once again. We're picking up in verse 12 to 13. What does James write? "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." What do we see? James making clear that God does not tempt people. So, what do we also see? God is not going to act in any way that is contrary to his nature. Jesus is not calling for that as well. Well, what do we do with that? How do we understand it? So, what is the difference between being tested and being tempted? Because they are two different things. We may say they are all part of the same coin. But testing is meant to mature us in our faith. It's meant to develop our faith. It is meant to strengthen our faith. We just read James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. And where he talks about, man, count it joy when you're getting tested by the Lord. There's to be a happy aspect. Now we all go, man, I don't like tests. Tests are not fun. Trials are not fun. But what does it do? It helps us to develop and to mature. And in that of God, it helps us to develop and to mature. Now, so testing is that that God uses to work into our lives, to knock off the rough spots, to talk about run us through the fire, to burn off the bad stuff. Why? So that what comes through is more like what the image of Christ is to be. Well, if that's testing, what is temptation? Well, see, temptation is connected to our sinful nature. See, temptation is connected to our sinful nature. It can come from an internal desire, but also can be influenced by external desires. Dr. Muller says we often confuse God's testing with temptations because our hearts often use difficult circumstances as an excuse for sinful behavior. Let me read that for you again. We can often confuse God's test with temptations because our hearts often use difficult circumstances as an excuse for sinful behavior. So we always need to be wary that as we walk through tests, as God brings us through tests, that we do not fail into the temptation to sin while going through that. Dr. Muller goes on to explain, a test is a trying circumstance or a difficult situation orchestrated in our lives by God. Like we've talked earlier, to help us develop, to help us mature, to help grow us in our faith. A temptation, however, is an invitation to sin. Quite simply, a temptation is an invitation to sin, an encouragement to engage in something contrary to God's law. Something contrary to God's law, something contrary to God's commands. God will never put in front of you the desire to sin. Sin is not God's way out of any situation. And so we come to this, and so we're to understand there is a difference between the testing of who we are, the molding and shaping, and then the temptation for us to sin. Well, how do we sin? Might sound like an oddball question, because why does it sound a little bit oddball? Because none of us sat through sinning class. We were born with it. We developed it originally. It was just something we did in there. But how does temptation turn into sin? We want to go back to James chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 12. We're going to read through verse 15, but we're going to focus on verses 14 and 15. As we read earlier, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. All right, picking up verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So James has laid out for us here, here is how, as we walk through temptation and we get tempted, whether that be an internal to do this or an external to accept this, which is sin, but that when we are tempted, where does it go? It becomes part of our desires. It is an enticement. Then, as we desire it and we can think about it, sin conceives at that point and then says gives birth to sin. It becomes an action. How does that take place? It becomes a thought first. It is a thought in our mind. It is a thought that comes across that some fleshly desire wants this. Some fleshly desire wants this. We think about it. We may even begin to dwell about it. And what do we see? That it is beginning to entice us, that, and we begin to rationalize, and Satan helps us do this. That can't be so bad. That can't be so bad. One of my other favorites is, God just wants me to be happy. And since God wants me to be happy, this is okay. God says its word's not, but if God truly loves me and God wants me to be happy, then this is going to be okay. And so it begins to take place in our mind, and our thoughts begin to turn in to this desire, and we begin to see that change. And say, man, that's not so bad. And then the change goes into action. And there's a doing part of it. And that's where the sin actually comes in. And what do we see? James says, gives birth to death. Because what is sin? Paul would write to the Romans, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And so we understand, we as believers should most of all understand that there's a consequence to the sin. We talked about that last week as we were asking for forgiveness. We're still in that same vein as we were asking for forgiveness, but we're asking that God would help us as we walk through our days in this. And so our thoughts turn into desires. Desires turn into action and therefore become sin. The internal temptation emerges from inside our own hearts. And I want us to think about that for a minute. When it is an internal temptation, it comes from inside of us. Dr. Moeller says, what do you say, man? So we begin to be carried away by our own desires. So one of the things we see is, why are we praying this? And lead us, and do not lead us into temptation. Because oftentimes our greatest enemy when it comes to living for the glory of God and walking through a life and not sinning against God is none other than us, ourselves. Our greatest enemy is us. And that may be hard for us to swallow, and that may be hard for us to understand, because there's a rationale part of us that wants to go, what I think and do can never be that bad. And yet it can. And so what's Christ telling us? We are praying, and do not lead us into temptation. Why? That we would, God, help us help ourselves. What do we see? An external temptation. An example of that would be if we were to walk back just to Matthew chapter 4. It's when Satan goes out into the desert with Christ. Christ is tempted. Christ is fasting 40 days. Satan comes to him and on numerous times, hey, turn these breads into stone because you're hungry. Hey, if you worship me, I give you all of this. And Christ refutes each one of those. And those would be aspects of external there and what we would see. But what do we see? Satan and his demons appeal to our fleshly side once again. And it is why that to entice us, why that our sinful desires may be fulfilled. But we need to be reminded what? What is the only thing that sin can deliver on but death? Sin over promises, under delivers. It says, man, do this and it's going to be great. We often talk about sin has a shelf life. Sin has a season. And for a period of season, that action that you have delved in into sin may feel great. But see, the under promises part that sin never tells us about, and Satan, as he's talking to us and trying to help us to go through this rail, never tells us the true meaning of the consequences of those decisions. And that's where we need to be reminded as people of God that Satan lies. He knows the truth and he twists it. And it begins to make us think, and we could go back to Genesis and it starts merely as this. Did God truly say? Then we begin to question God and question what God says. Why? That our flesh may seek to fulfill our desires. So what are we praying when we say, do not lead us into temptation? Here's the things I think that we are truly saying. Number one, we are acknowledging that there is a reality of sin that is in our lives every single day. We don't like to think about that. And we need to think about that from those who have been saved by the grace of God, that the sin still has influence over us. It is a battle that we wage every day. And so there's an acknowledgement that there is a reality of sin in our life. We are flesh and blood. We struggle daily. We need to also acknowledge the temptations are real. And they are a real threat to our life found in Christ. Now, what do we also need to understand? When we do sin, there's a way back. Because God loves us. What do we read? Those who will repent, He will faithfully forgive. So first, we acknowledge the reality of sin in our lives. What else? We acknowledge this, that we are unable to resist the temptation of sin walking in our own strength. We are unable to resist the temptation of sin walking solely in our own strength. What do we need to understand by that? We are not as strong as we think we are. What do we need? Daily, we need the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to work in our life, to clear up our mind that we may clearly focus and understand the sin that is out there and the temptations that are out there, that by following God, we may faithfully sidestep the landmines of sin that are put out there. We need the power of God to walk us through the days, to encourage us and to strengthen us daily as we go. What else do we need to understand? As a believer, and it's with this point that we need to acknowledge that we are unable on our own to resist the temptation. The scariest places for you to be as a believer is to reach this point where you say in your mind, I got this. This can never happen to me. When you walk down those roads and you begin to utter those phrases that I have this is not possible, we need to be reminded to hit our knees and seek the strength and the glory of God. Why? Because it is possible. For a believer that thinks they have it on their own to begin walk down a path where they lose it. And so we need to be wary of that. And so what are we praying when we say, do not lead us into temptations? We are praying, God, give us the strength to faithfully follow you, that we may not succumb to the temptations and therefore the sin that so easily can entangle us, that can so easily wrap us up. Lord, save me from myself. Lord, save me from my own sinful desires, that my life may be for you. Warren Wiersbe says in this petition, we are asking God to guide us so that we will not get out of His will, get involved in situations of temptation, or even in a situation of tempting God so that He must miraculously rescue us. And so we pray, Lord, do not lead us into temptation. Lord, save me from me. Help me to walk where the places I need to and to surrender those things that I need to you. Then we come to the other part. But deliver us from the evil one. And so depending on your translation, it may say deliver us from evil, or it may say deliver us from the evil one. Well, how should we understand the difference between evil and the evil one? And here's the basic way I want to lay this down for you and what I would understand and what I think is most theologically correct. But with the phrase should be best translated evil one, and it speaks to that. That who is Satan himself. What does Peter tell us about him? He is walking around like a lion. He is looking and he is seeking those through which he may devour. And what do we see Christ praying? Pray that we will be delivered from him. Now, what do we say? Well, what about evil then? All evil in some way, shape, and form is also being inspired by that of Satan. And so what are we to see? As Michael Green would say, we are to daily seek the Father's strength. Why? That we be delivered from the seductions of the evil one that lead us into temptations, and from therefore the power of the evil one that is inducing us to sin. And so we pray that God deliver us from those. Now, another thing we need to understand, do not give Satan more power than he does not have. Satan is not on equal planes with that of God himself. He is not on an equal plane as that of Christ and the Holy Spirit. They have authority over him. He has no authority of God and cannot stand in the face of God. What would Scripture also tell us? Resist Satan. Resist the devil. And he will have no opportunity, no other options but to flee. And so we pray, deliver us from the evil one. Now we're back to why do we need to be delivered? Because we are incapable of saving ourselves. We are incapable of saving ourselves. If not, but for the grace of God, we would have nothing. And so we are incapable of saving ourselves. We need Christ. What particularly do we need? We need the work of Christ on the cross. That salvific work that took the wrath of God, that covered the payment and the punishment of sin, that those who would repent and by faith believe in Christ would be saved. And so what do we need? We need the work of Christ to deliver us from Satan. Why? Because we can't deliver our own self from the wrath of God. We can't deliver our own self from sin. And so as we pray, Lord, lead us not, do not lead us into temptation. Deliver us. We should be praying then, deliver us from myself. Deliver us from the failures and the temptations that are out there. Charles Spurgeon writes of this passage and he says, if I must be tried, Lord, deliver me from falling into evil, and especially preserve me from that evil one who above all seeks my soul to destroy it. He goes on to say, temptation or trial may be good, may be for my good. If I am delivered from evil, Lord, do this for me, for I cannot preserve myself. Hence we pray daily, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lord, help us walk through these days and deliver us from evil, because I cannot do it myself. So what is all this we understand as we just kind of wrap up here? We may not see it, but there is a spiritual battle that takes place every day here on earth. We as believers walk every day in the battle of sin in our flesh and to honor God with our lives there. The question we begin to ask ourselves, are you prepared for the battle? Have you prepared yourself for the battle each day? Or you prepared yourself to walk with the strength of God that you may go through the trials, but also as you go through the trials that are building our faith, that our trials may not turn into temptations and therefore not succumb to the temptations and sin against God. So we talked about some acknowledgments earlier. I want to quote Dr. Moeller here. It says, we need to be honest with ourselves, understanding that we are not up for the task on our own. But what does he say? He says, but Jesus teaches us that we have access to deliverance from sin and temptation by the grace and mercy of God. Which is why, he goes on to say, which is why we must repeat this prayer of deliverance daily. He says, for we are frail in our flesh, and we must pray for God's protection from evil. If you were to look in our hymnal on page 16, there's a hymn called, O Worship the King. Verse 4 of that, at least I'm pretty sure it's verse 4. Says this, frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. So may we here at Red Hill Baptist Church find ourselves and understand that we are children who are frail and we are feeble. But our trust is to be found in our Maker, our Defender, the one who has redeemed us, and He is our friend. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord God, we have come into Your house and we have worshiped in Your name. Lord, deliver us from the evil one and keep us from temptations because we have placed our trust in You and You alone. And so, Lord, we come into this time. We call it the time of invitation, but it's a time for us to acknowledge those things that You have told us in our hearts through Your Word. And Lord, whether we come down to the altar in prayer or we just do it where we're sitting, but may we just lift those things up to You and turn those things over to God. Lord, move in our day and age that we may be Your people. And Lord, by that we have given all to You. And Lord, we are being faithful and obedient to what You call us to do in our lives. That You and You alone will be glorified and honored. And Lord, we pray this day in Your name. Amen.